Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We go to an incident of recent memory that requires a re-understanding. This is the release of the Chinese Communist Party member and head of some aspect of Huawei, the very popular and global telecommunications firm that is not trusted by the United States and other governments, Meng Wanzhou. Her release happened at the same time the release of two Canadians. So I go to Gordon to say, Gordon, remind me why Meng was held in Canada and why she was released. Thank you.
Yeah, Meng Wanzhou was held in Canada at the request of the U.S. Justice Department, which believed that she had been involved in the violation of Iran sanctions, relationships between Huawei Technologies, of which she was CFO, and I believe it was HSBC. And so the U.S. wanted Canada to detain her, which Canada did. And by the way, she is the daughter of the founder of Huawei, Ren Zhengfei.
We go to that incident among Wanzhou to the release of two Canadian citizens at the same time, Michael Spavor and Michael Kovrig. And we welcome our colleague Charles Burton, who's written of the two men who were held for no legal reason, but as a hostage diplomacy. However, now it gets even more complicated because these two men have fallen out over their conversations in China. I go to you, Charles, because this gets extremely difficult to understand. Spavor and Kovrig are no longer colleagues. I don't know that they ever were, but they did have conversations in China. Why is that a difficulty to remember? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, I mean, at the time that Mr. Kovrig and Mr. Spavor were arrested, detained by the Chinese Ministry of State Security, it was felt that this was entirely an arbitrary matter, that, you know, China has a list of Canadians in China that in times of stress, they would choose two of them and detain them under torturous conditions to coerce the Canadian government to do what China wanted. In this case, China wanted Meng Wanzhou, the Huawei CFO, returned to China before Canada had adjudicated whether under the Canada-U.S. extradition treaty, there was basis to transfer Ms. Meng to U.S. justice for this financial fraud and violation that led to violation of the Iran sanctions that she was instrumental in. Now it turns out that Kovrig was working in something called Global Security Reporting Program of the Canadian government that the Canadians insist was not spying, because he wasn't doing anything that was covert or running agents and, you know, that kind of thing that would have required protecting sources. And Mr. Spavor was an interesting character because he was involved in running tour groups into North Korea, including facilitating the visit of the basketball player Dennis Rodman to spend some time with the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, and developed a friendship with Kim Jong-un. And, you know, there's video of him jet skiing with Kim Jong-un and enjoying cocktails with Kim Jong-un on Kim Jong-un's yacht. So one would have thought that Mr. Spavor would be someone that the Chinese government would have looked on with favor, as it appeared he was facilitating activities that assisted the North Korean failing economy with foreign currency by bringing tourists who paid a pretty penny to go to North Korea. Mr. Spavor was forever sending me messages saying that he had a tour going and they had a few spaces and would I like to come along, and he could give me a good discount on the visit to Pyongyang. I didn't take him up on that. Now, apparently, Kovrig spent a lot of time with Spavor talking, presumably about what Spavor knew about what was going on in North Korea, a topic that, you know, we need more information on, and Spavor seemed to have quite unique access. But I don't think that the dispute and the reason that Mr. Spavor wants compensation for his 3 years of torturous imprisonment during the period that Meng Wanzhou was in Canada having her extradition treaty reviewed is that he feels that he was not fairly treated by the Canadian government and Kovrig, and that Kovrig had obtained information from Mr. Spavor, which he then reported to the Canadian government and on to the Five Eyes Intelligence Sharing Alliance, and that it was for that reason the Chinese found out that Kovrig and Spavor had some kind of something equivalent to what the Chinese define as espionage or intelligence operations. And it was for that reason that they selected Mr. Spavor along with Mr. Kovrig for interrogation and incarceration. And he would like compensation because he felt that his friendship with Mr. Kovrig, which he thought was a friendship based on getting together and drinking establishments and exchanging gossip, was in fact exploiting him as an intelligence source, which the Chinese looked upon with disfavor and therefore subjected him to the most atrocious treatment, albeit in retaliation for Canada holding Meng Wanzhou. But in any event, this is, you know, we thought that Kovrig and Spavor were casual friends and were indeed friends. And it turns out that Mr. Spavor is blaming Mr. Kovrig, and by extension, the Canadian embassy in Beijing and the diplomats there and the Canadian Foreign Ministry and Intelligence Services for not informing him that he was being put in a compromised position with regard to the Chinese government.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Charles, does that state a cause of action under Canadian law? Can Michael Spavor actually say that that is a tort under some sort of Canadian statute or common law?
Well, that is the question. I mean, I think he's seeking compensation, as Kovrig is, from the Canadian government for, you know, their victimization. But I, you know, from that point of view, I don't see any legal obligation for Canada to provide them with taxpayer money. I don't know what sort of law would apply to this beyond pressuring the Canadian government to provide him with compensation under a non-disclosure agreement to maintain the integrity of Canada's global security reporting program. But he certainly feels that he has been a subject of, I guess, some degree of fraudulent interaction with the government of Canada for which he should be compensated. It would be very problematic for this kind of matter to come up to open court because so much of it deals with matters that would be secret under Canada's own security of information statutes and with regard to agreements that we have with our Five Eyes intelligence consortium allies, including the United States, with regard to what sort of information we might have passed on to foreign intelligence agencies with regard to what had been learned about what goes on in North Korea at the senior levels of the elite that Mr. Spavor had some kind of friendly relations with for a matter of quite a few years.
Charles, the puzzle for me, is it an issue that this is about Kim Jong-un? Kim Jong-un palling around with a Canadian citizen? It's odd, Charles.
There does seem to be some speculation by some diplomats, and there's been quite a lot of defensive op-eds produced trying to suggest that there was nothing wrong here, including Mr. Kovrig himself, who feels that he was simply a random victim of Chinese arbitrary detention and had nothing to do with his work that he feels the Chinese actually approved of. But I think that, you know, Mr. Spavor's value added would certainly be based on what he learned over his extensive time in North Korea. And maybe the Chinese were not happy that their proxy dictator in the country to the south had developed some kind of rapport with a Canadian citizen who might facilitate Mr. Kim's ability to communicate with the West in ways he would not be able to do if he didn't have a figure like Mr. Spavor going back and forth to Pyongyang and interacting with Western diplomats when he was out of North Korea.
There's also all that matter of Kim's health. how he lost all that weight, he gained it back during the pandemic period, that would have been access to what he thought about his own health. That's vital information.
Yes, I'd say that might well have been the kind of thing that Spavor and Kim would have chatted about, their mutual diet programs and general health. I'm sure that, you know, if they were casual friends who enjoyed a cocktail and enjoyed jet skiing together, they probably chatted a lot about that kind of personal matter, which of course would be only available to the West through that kind of channel. And I dare say China would not have been happy about this.
Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute, writing most recently at the Toronto Star about the unfinished business of the hostage diplomacy practiced by the People's Republic of China. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at MyComputerCareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.